Hello, I'm Philip McVeigh, and I'm here with Ron and Robin Garriga. They're the directors of our generosity campaign, Will You Grow? And each week we've been taking the words one at a time, will and then you. And today we're focusing on the word grow. When you hear the word grow, what do you think of with what we're asking the congregation to do?
My first thought is a little bitty seed being put in the ground and just sprouting up and growing into a big bean vine, kind of multiplying.
You're so creative, Robin.
I didn't have that vision at all, by the way.
What's your vision?
My vision was a stepping stool and watching yourself grow as you not grow, but grow. That's what I was thinking.
Well, I'm hearing pretty clear that you're thinking it's not remaining where you are. Mm-hmm. It's about doing something different. Say a word about if you could invite the congregation to grow, what would you want them to do differently?
I think we all have our own financial ability. We all know what we receive, and I would just like to challenge our church family to see where they can take it up to the next level of what they would like to give back to the church, give to God. We talked about last week of how the sacrifices God made for us. Well, when you freely give and you grow abundantly, your life grows abundantly. Things just flow better. Things just work better. The dots connect better. So I know that in our life, as we have tried to grow, we've always felt really good about that. And our lives just tend to want to be better.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you think about the congregation, and we thank you so much for being our directors for this generosity campaign. I heard you say in your opening week of introduction that you were excited about what was going on in the church.
Absolutely.
And if we all grow together, God gives us a vision of flourishing, yes, of abundance. What does that mean to you as you look at our church?
For me, my example of growing was planting the seeds, and I'm thinking about a tree. And you know, when it's young and you water it or you feed it or you contribute to it, the roots are going to grow stronger and stronger and spread out. And so I'm thinking that as our generosity grows with our giving to our church, we're going to be stronger and stronger and more of a beacon to our community.
Yeah, that's well said, Robin. I think that for me, in growing, it would be the joy that we do receive from that growing to that next step. I think that when we look at our church family and we see what we are accomplishing already, I mean, we have a very prosperous church, but we want to do more. We want to give more. We want this corner to, like Robin just said, a beacon. We want this to just shine. We want a light to shine throughout this community about what great things are happening here at Shalimar United Methodist Church, and that takes resources. And what a great way to see your resources being used than amongst those who need it.
Right, right. Well, thank you for challenging us with these three words, will you grow? And I want to thank Ron and Robin again. Ron, it's your birthday.
It is. Today is Ron Garriga Day.
And that tells me that you're taking this very serious, that you want to see this church grow. You want to see us all individually take
Absolutely.
A step of growth. Thank Absolutely. You so much for that. And let's end with that phrase we've used the previous weeks.
Will you grow with us?
Good morning. I would like to introduce to all of you David. David Mobley is one of our laypersons that is helping with the Will You Grow campaign, and he'd like to take a moment and share some things with you. And this is the time for you to pull out that insert inside your worship guide that looks like this slide. David, thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. Yeah, like she said, please go ahead while I'm talking and get this card out of your insert and find a pen, because this is going to be the interactive part of your worship service this morning, and we're going to have a little quiz later, so be ready for that. Some of you may or may not know, but 3 years ago, we had to move away to Tampa, Florida, and we had been here about 7 years or 6 years, and we're just now getting into a place where we were really starting to grow with Shalimar. And, you know, we had to leave, but those 3 years we were away, you know, we initially had to search for a church down there that kept that growth going. And it took us a little while, but we did. But our hearts always kept returning to and comparing to our Shalimar growth and the church here. You know, it's tough to find a new church anywhere you go, but down there is a particularly frustrating thing because we always knew we wanted to get back to Shalimar. We kept comparing our growth experience there to how we had been growing here. So you're going to hear that G word a lot today. But we were blessed to get to return home just a few months ago, and so we're back, and we're back among friends that make up the church, our church, and that's the Church of Christ in Shalimar United Methodist. And now that we're back, we want to grow even more. We want to continue that experience and do more for our community and for our church. And what I'm going to talk about here is the interactive part of the service this morning is this chart. And this is a record of our congregation's monthly giving. And I'm going to have you fill in the numbers as we go up the chart. If I get a little too fast for you, that's fine. The numbers will be up here. But please fill them out because, and I'm not going to test you after all, I'm not going to make you raise your hand when we get to your part. So please keep your hands down. But basically what we have at the bottom left there is the number of people who have given between a penny and $24.99 a month, and that number is 183. The next step up is between $25 and just under $60. That's 86 households. And we step up to the $60 to $99.99 a month. That's 58 households. The next step is 48, then 36, and you'll see it kind of evens out here, 34. And then 28 people gave $250 to $299 a month. The next step is 35. And then as we get here to this next phase, it starts to kind of exponentially increasing. Those that give between $400 and $849 is 77. And then another exponential step between $850 and $1,249.99 is 9. And we do have four households who have been generous and have given over $15,000 annually is the best way to put it. So over $1,250 average per month. Now, what I want you to do is find yourself on this chart, and over the next week, you know, find where you're going to commit to commit. If you're willing to step up in your generosity up this chart and give in a joyful giving manner. I'll tell you that from personal experience, you know, sometimes writing a check to God can be tough, especially if finances are tight. But I'll tell you that at the end of the month, even when finances were even tighter, I never once looked back and said, man, I regret writing that check to God. Never once. I always looked back and regretted some of my trips to Home Depot and Lowe's, but I'm sure many of you have done the same thing. You know, giving ourselves to Christ does include growth in time, resources, better relationship with Christ through study, fellowship, like we have here at Shalimar, worship, and yes, even our finances. It makes a difference, especially when we have the kind of resources to spread joy to the community around us. It brings joy to them and to ourselves, but it's mostly for them. We want to reach as many people in our community as we can, and I pray that in that, that you will grow and step up for Christ over the next week in your commitment and throughout 2019. Thank you very much.
Good morning. So I had the pleasure this weekend of working in Emmaus Walk. So if people that are a part of the Emmaus community have ever just been a part of that community or been on a walk or experienced a walk, it's an amazing opportunity. So I come here and I'm just like super on fire for the Lord. You know, it's just super awesome because that's just an experience you don't forget. So seeing all those people be changed by the Lord, it's an amazing feeling. But this scripture, I feel, really represents that because it's talking about, you thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. So this morning's scripture is from Psalm 92, verses 1 through 15. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning and faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-string instrument, a harp, and the melody of a lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. Oh, Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. Only a simpleton would not know, and only a fool would not understand this. Though the wicked sprout like weeds and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish. All evildoers will be scattered. But you have made me as strong as a wild ox. You have anointed me with finest oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Katie. It is wonderful to be with you all this morning as we continue on in our Will You Grow series, and we are on week 3, where we are processing the word grow. And I hope that you've been able to be with us the 2 weeks prior. If you have not been able to be here all of the weeks, then know that you can go online and catch up on any of the sermon series. The link, I think it's in your worship guide, but if it's not, it is sumc.io/WYG for Will You Grow. Easy to remember, right? And this week, if you do not get a toolkit in the mail, which I hope you do, we mailed these out at the end of the week, so some of you may have already gotten it. Depending on how close to the church you live, you may not have gotten it yet. But this will also be available online, so if you don't get one in the mail, please go online and look at it. It's got some really helpful resources. In addition to the chart that David just went over, it's got other great things for you to pray about as you think about the next weekend that we're going to be here, and we're going to decide what it is that we are going to give to God together for 2019. I'd like to take just a brief moment to review the past 2 weeks, because I was not in here with you, and I don't say things the exact same way that Philip and Brian do, so I want to make sure that we are on the same page with what we're talking about. So the first week was will. You can grow, will you? And I spent some time talking about willpower, the power of our decisions, and that we have will, which that our will is what makes us decide what we are going to do. God has a bigger will than we do, but that is how we decide everything in our life. For example, are we going to eat a piece of cake or an entire cake? Some of us have better wills than others. Some of you are thinking, ooh, cake, and I just lost you. Come back. All right, so God has a bigger will than we do, and so when we align ourselves with God's will, then we are going in a better path because we are not relying on our own willpower. We looked at Proverbs 3 that week, and we talked about giving our best to God. Some translations put that as our first fruits to God, and that is how we honor him, by giving him our best. And when we do that, our lives will overflow. And that's an overflowing internally of spiritual blessings, not always an overflowing of physical things, but we learn that when we give God our best, that he takes care of us. Then we went on from there to talk about week 2 about you. So I made everybody point to their neighbor. So point to your neighbor and say, she's talking about you. Go on, fingers pointing. She's talking about you. And then you got to point at yourself because I'm talking about you and I'm talking about me. Right? The whole idea of you is that none of us are excluded. This is all about us. It's about our spiritual journeys and about us saying, where is God in our life and is he a priority for us?
And we can't exclude ourselves from the conversation. We have to remember this is individual, just like it's also our church. We didn't call it, can we grow? We called it, can you grow? And we challenged you all last week to go have a conversation in your family. We worked out of Deuteronomy 6 last week, and we said that you needed to commit yourselves wholeheartedly. You can't just commit a part of your life. You have to commit your whole life to God. And we wanted you to keep growing in your spiritual life, because if us as individuals grow, then our church grows. Because we as a church are made up of the people within our church. And if we want to be a healthy church, then we need people continuing to grow in their spiritual life. So we said to go home and talk in your families, and I challenged my people to look, the people that I spoke to, some of you might have been there, I don't know, I can't see everybody in the dark. But I challenged all the people I spoke to talk about where your money goes. Because that's the hardest thing in the world, is figuring out where your money goes. And then I gave you a little tidbit, those that heard me, that we have two personality types in our families. We have nerds and we have free spirits. And this is important for this week too, because the nerds love numbers. David, I have a feeling you're a nerd. I am too. So us nerds, we love our numbers, we love our budgets, we work really hard on it, and our free spirits look at our budgets, the ones we work really hard at, and say, oh honey, that's a nice budget, and then they throw it out the window. You have to figure out who in your family is which, and you have to sit down together and say, where does God fit in the numbers? And you have to come at it together. Okay, so I challenge everybody to have that conversation last week, and that conversation is still moving forward because we can't stop it. It's ongoing. So this week we're talking about growing, and we have to grow in our giving because our giving is spiritual. It's about committing our whole selves. We just said that in the first passage of Will, right? We have to commit our whole selves. So this week I'm going to try to answer the question for you of why we give. Because you can accept the ability to grow in your giving. You can, but are you going to do that? So we're going to talk about why we give. So Psalm 92, Katie did such a great job reading this, and it's a great psalm, isn't it? Beautiful psalm. Psalm 92 talks about praising God. You see, one of the reasons we give is because we give because of what God has done for us. We praise because it is good to give thanks to the Lord. We give because God has done lots for us. He has taken care of us. He looks after us. He is taking all of our life, and he has a purpose and a plan, and he makes sure that we have meaning. If we go on in this passage in verse 4, we see that thrilling. You thrill me, Lord, for all you have done. I sing for joy because of what you have done. That just gives you this image of like the psalmist not being able to contain themselves, right? Like, I sing for joy because you thrill me. It's like a person just trying to bust at the seams with their joy of God. We give to God because he overwhelms us with joy of what he has done in our life. We don't give to God out of obligation. We don't give to God out of dread. We give to God out of joy. We give to God because he gave to us first. We give to God because he is the one looking after everything in our life. I don't know, these first verses of the psalmist, it just overwhelms me, the emotion in these verses. I almost picture a little kid. Have you ever seen a child so excited they can't contain themselves and they're like jumping up and down and they just want to tell you, you got to know what happened, you got to know what happened, you got to know what happened. And then you ask them and they just are so excited they can't tell you the story because they can't get through it because it's so exciting. They just can't tell you the words and it's just so wonderful and you know what happened. And you just want to be like, calm down. But that's the emotion I get from this psalm, that the psalmist is so excited about what God's done that they just can't contain it with words, that God is so amazing. And that kind of amazement of God is what motivates us to give. His goodness is overwhelming. There's no one in the world as good as God. We go on in the psalm to verse 6, and then it kind of changes tone. It's kind of, I mean, this song goes all over the place. And then it goes on to say, a simpleton does not know. It's like the kid that's overwhelming with joy looks at you and goes, how do you not know how good God is? How can you not know? How do you not understand? It's so obvious. It has to make sense to you. Now, I'm kind of looking at this passage from the backside because I believe that God gave us brains. How many of you have a brain? Not everybody's hand went up. I'm a little concerned. Let's try it again. How many bodies got a brain? We're doing a little bit better. Okay. I want you to bring your brain into church. Did you catch that? Your brain needs to come into church with you. You need to think while you're here. You're not just supposed to sit here and check your brain outside. God gave us brains. We're supposed to use them. We're supposed to think. We're supposed to ask questions. He gave us the ability to be critical. And these numbers that David just gave us, the reason we gave you data is because we're supposed to use your brains. The reason we talked about budgets is because you're supposed to use your brains. God asks us to be good stewards of our money. He's a good God. He gives us resources to take care of ourselves. But he also didn't ask us to just go take our debit cards and swipe them everywhere we want to go and then go to God and go, God, why is my checking account overdrawn? He's not very happy when we do that, is he? He's not going to bail us out when we go out over what we have in our checking account. He asks us to be responsible people. And therefore, we have to think. But there's a combination of thinking and faith. You have to use your brain, but you have to also use your heart. You have to look at the numbers, and you have to look at faith, and you have to say, where is God taking me? You have to pray about what's going on in your life, and you have to trust that God is going to make it all work. There's a quote that I love. The Dave Ramsey says, he says, a budget is when you tell your money where to go instead of wondering where your money went. Did you catch that? Telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. To me, that is the key to all of it. My husband and I have been married almost 10 years. And when we got married 10 years ago, we had almost nothing because we were in school. We committed 10 years ago to always give to God first, just as the scripture said. We've done it for 10 years. And many months in school, we had very little, but we gave to God first. And I always knew where my money went because I budgeted it. And at the end of the month, we didn't have much left, but we knew God got the part that God was supposed to get because I did this. And I was often, sometimes I was way down here in the 18 because I didn't have much to give God, but I gave it to him first, and I was proud to walk into church and give God $20 because I knew that that $20 was all I had for him, and I gave it to him before I had anything else to give. And then I could step up, and I could give him more because I knew that I could do it, and it's a commitment that I made with my husband. And we talk about it all the time. And every time we set our budget, the first thing we do is we give to God. But see, that's logic and faith. Because I have to trust when I give to God first that I'm going to have enough money at the end of the month. Right? I have to trust that when things come up unexpectedly that I can cover them. And trust that God's going to take care of me. There's one more reason we give to God, and that's because God has a vision for our life. God's vision is for us to succeed in life. He wants us to be healthy and flourishing people. The psalm in verse 12 says, the godly will flourish and grow strong. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be his people that are mighty. He doesn't want us to be people that are just flowing in the wind. He wants us to be mighty. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to have the biggest house on the hill. That's not what flourish means. Flourish means spiritual blessings that come from knowing who God is and He has control over my life. And that He always cares for everything that I have. And He takes care of my needs. And He's always done that for me. He's always taking care of my family. Now, our dream for our church is our people will spiritually flourish. And that starts with us giving 100% of our life to God, and that comes with our financial giving as well. And when that happens, our church will flourish, and we can flourish in our community, and we can do more work for God. And part of my job here is to help us do work in our community, but it's also to help with the baptisms, and that's like one of my big chunks that I do. I'm super excited about baptism weekend, by the way. You come have a conversation with me about that later. But we've been doing charge conference reports, and in this past year, in 2018 thus far, we have baptized 32 people. Isn't that amazing? We have baptized, oh, that says 31. Mine says 32. We'll go with that one. 31 people. And I have reaffirmed the baptisms of another 18 people, which means 49 people in our church in 2018 have stood up to say that God is important enough in their life to go into the water. Is that not amazing? Isn't that amazing? Let's get a little excited about that. That's amazing, right? Friends, this is the highest number we've had in years. Now, this is what happens when God's people come together and say, we're going to dedicate our lives to God. And we started that this year with 21 days of worship and prayer and fasting. And God has blessed us as a church. And I've seen God work in our people and you. And we're asking you to continue that commitment into 19 and for us to keep seeing what God's going to do. Can you imagine what He's going to do if we keep going? Could you imagine? I'm actually excited for Charge Conference. Can you imagine someone being excited for Charge Conference? Because I get to give this report to the conference. And I get to show them these numbers. Because there's Methodist churches that have zero on these numbers. And look at that. That's professions of faith and reaffirmations of people coming back to the church. Souls that we have touched. And it starts by our church being spiritually healthy and growing and thriving and God moving in this place. So as you leave here and you start thinking about where you're going, we want you to do something for us. We want you to decide what are you going to do on Commitment Weekend. And there's a reason that we followed Commitment Weekend with Baptism Weekend, because we figured if we're going to ask you to give financially in 2019, we should make sure people want to like actually give everything to God. They hadn't done that. Because we got people that haven't done that. So we're going to do the baptism weekend too and make sure that everybody's ready to fully give everything. So we'll have commitment weekend and then we'll have the baptism weekend. And I cannot be more excited. Phil's been asking what thrills us. And I'm like, this has got me so excited. Because I get to baptize people. And they're all going to baptize people. And I'm going to pray. We got lots of people to baptize in every service. And we're going to dunk people. I said we're going to have a dunk take. And then somebody asked me if it's going to be like the carnival. If that gets people here, then I'll do it. I'll sell balls too. However we get people to go into the kingdom of God, right? But no, it's not like the carnival. When you leave, you need to ask God, what are you going to do next week? How are you in your spiritual life going to grow and flourish in 19? And how are we as a church going to continue to reach our community and reach people for Christ through our people here? Because it's you that reaches out. And how is God going to use us in the coming year? Next weekend, the 18th, in this service, you guys will have an opportunity to come and commit to God. So today you need to commit to be here and to offer what you need to offer to God. Would you join me in prayer as we prepare for communion?
Almighty God, we thank you that you are mighty and you are good and you have a plan and you do all these things with your purpose. And so we take a moment to decide what next year is going to be for each and every one of us. For me, for all my brothers and sisters, we ask that you guide us in this process so we can keep being your people and doing your work and bringing people to you and being your church. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your table. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for it all. And guiding us in our walk so that we can be stronger. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen.